This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bites. My name is Rich Bradbury.
I'm Vinny Raj.
And Christine Wong.
We're talking about luxury items today. Have you bought any luxury brand products in 2020? If so, what was it? If not, why not? Do let us know via the poll on Twitter at BFM Radio or via the poll on Instagram, also at BFM Radio. And you can send us messages 018-789-8899 on WhatsApp.
The poll is at 70.6% for no and 29.4% for yes.
Christine?
Poll hasn't shifted at all, although we've gotten more votes on it on Instagram. So it's still 80% no to 20% yes, but we've got a lot of responses here.
Let's hear them.
Yes. So Amalina Ivy, sorry, says iPhone. Jane YL says cash is king. Two True 24U says an Audi's headphone. It was cheap and could be resold without a loss. Jazly's In says bags, shoes, and watches. But then we've got a couple of people who clearly voted for no, because Stephanie Dreamcloud says investment over splurging. Art Mad Lad says no money, not interested. And Gwen O just says luxury brand can eat.
True. Also, that kind of answers the question here over on WhatsApp. 0016 says, surprised nobody said Apple. I see a lot of people on social media showing off their iPhone 12s, not to mention the pre-sale of the PS5, which was gone in a jiffy. So we just answered that. Some people are buying Apple products and iPhones, and I'm sure if you can get your greasy little paws on a PS5, some people might be talking about that as well. Mm-hmm. Off Twitter, do we have any more responses
you want
to highlight?
No.
Okay. Let's move on to the final story then. And how are tourism workers coping with no tourists here in Malaysia? Not no tourists, anyway. You see where I got with
that? Took a while.
Yeah, it took a while. With travel at a standstill, many workers in the Malaysian tourism landscape, tour guides, hoteliers, tour operators, bus drivers, pilots, cabin crew, just to name a few, have found their vocation grinding to a halt, of course. For tourist guides, especially, the border closures have hit them really badly, as international visitors not been allowed to enter the country for holiday purposes since the movement control order was imposed on March the 18th to help curb the spread of COVID-19. It's caused some tourist guides to take a hiatus from the industry, whilst others have been using this period to reinvent their business and learn new skills. This is a piece we got from The Star. There's a veteran tour guide. Her name is Jane Rye, who's been in the industry for over 3 decades and has been learning all about digitalization and how to use technology to her advantage. So, you know, we talked about pivoting. This is a great pivot. As she says, I always believe that you must have an additional skill as a guide. These days, I'm learning how to do short videos and virtual tours. I'm also learning to leverage social media to promote my services. She's an award-winning guide. In the past few months, she's been working with partners and sponsors to bring her free Walk KL unscripted project onto a virtual platform. As she says, there is a demand for virtual tours. At the same time, though, she hopes that travel will pick up again one day, of course. And I believe people will still want to travel once they do. The travel industry may look bleak now, but she's very hopeful. Now, another tourist guide, Raja Shahril Nasir, has said his job might have been envied. He spent his days at some of the most popular attractions in the country, striking up conversations with travellers from all over the world. Does sound like a great job, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
So he would occasionally travel abroad to other countries and experience other places. But he was saying that his last batch of tourists were a group from Turkey, and that was back in February of this year. And he started to feel the pinch around about December, when people started, you know, not traveling because we were hearing kind of rumors of mm-hmm. what was happening. But he goes on to talk about, you know, of course, if there's no tourists, there's no money, and how they have had to pivot and what they are doing. And a lot of them are doing this stuff where they go online and are creating these virtual tours, which I think is something that we've covered ad nauseum almost. And the highlight is, it's all about the time to reinvent. And while assistance from the government is crucial to helping this sector recover, some tourism workers are taking the pandemic in their stride and going on to reinvent themselves. They believe that there's plenty of opportunities to tap into with the help of technology and the internet. Public data centers are around, marketing help and promotions and whatever. And me and you, Arv, were talking off air about what the tourism ministry has revealed recently as well, about this idea of the green bubble, where if you are in an area of Malaysia that is considered green, you can then later travel to another area that is considered green as part of a tourism kind of exchange almost.
Initiative,
and yeah. They're offering like all kinds of incentives to go on and do this. But this idea that we've spoken about in the past, you know, about pivoting from one thing mm-hmm. to another, it can't have been easy for people that have been doing stuff for 30 years and you're used to meeting new people every day and telling them how wonderful your city is and how great your city is and showing them all these wonderful things. And that suddenly has gone and you can't do anything about it. You know, that must have been really difficult for them.
Yeah.
It's the equivalent of losing your job, basically.
It is losing your job, basically.
And like waiting for it to bounce back or to see whether things get better and stuff. Like, how do you, I don't know, just listening to the way you describe the people who have sort of pivoted and shifted, it takes a lot. Like, it's an incredible effort to think about something new to do just to sustain and keep the bread and butter going.
Mm-hmm. I mean, if you look back at the hotel occupancy rate back in March, it dropped approximately 5% when the MCO was implemented. Mm. The ministry has since clarified that apart from the allocation for the tourism sector mentioned during the budget speech, which was 1.14 billion, an additional 200 million ringgit has been set aside to implement a stimulus package under the tourism recovery plan for 2021. And the tourism ministry is hoping that this package will help boost this industry as well as benefit not just tourism players, but all Malaysians too. So we'll see. You know, we've got to wrap up for today, folks. Thank you very much for all of your messages, though. It's clearly been a very interesting show today. Lots of discussion about what does constitute a luxury good. And I think even here in the studio, we were saying for us, cheese is a luxury item for some.
Oh,
cheese is,
yes. You know.
That was a discussion we were having. Forget about the LV bags and the Hugo Boss suits and whatever it was. Avocados, cheese.
Mm-hmm. Work-life balance.
Sleep.
Being alive and having a job in a time of pandemic. Coffee, yes.
Good coffee.
Oh my God,
yeah.
Just being able to come to work, I would say, is perhaps a luxury for a lot of people as well. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much for all of your messages. The final tally, 71% of you over on Twitter have said you have not bought a luxury item, compared to 29% of you who have said yes. Two people told us over on Instagram that they bought BMWs. Well done, you. I hope you feel well about that. We're going to wrap up, though, but don't go anywhere, because coming up after the 1 o'clock news, of course, we do have the Breakfast Grill replay. For those of you that have any interest in stuff like cryptocurrency, blockchain, Bitcoin, Ethereum, and you may have invested, this is a replay for you. And Bitcoin has nearly tripled since its low in March, hovering around 15,000 a Bitcoin. I think we're about $18,000 now. Mm-hmm. And the cryptocurrency has seen a boost from the pandemic and expansionary monetary policy as some investors look for inflationary hedges. But that said, how well received is cryptocurrency in Malaysia and Southeast Asia? David Lowe, the Southeast Asia General Manager for Luno, a regional cryptocurrency trading platform, joined the Breakfast Grill this morning to discuss more. We'll be back same time, same place tomorrow on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.